Good morning. You're listening to The Scene. I'm your host, Laura Holloway, and this morning we're here talking with the wonderful Michael Evanichko, the incomparable Patrick Manley, the two upcoming stars of CPAC's production of Every Brilliant Thing. Guys, welcome to the show.
Hello, welcome. I want
to
be incomparable.
Have you guys here. Well, you can make a decision. One of you can be incomparable and the other one can be fabulous or, you know.
Fabulous.
Actually,
that's a good one.
Very early process that Michael does not know rock, paper, scissors. So.
That's true.
Prove
I did
right
that.
Now. Let's see, it. Let's see a quick rock, paper,
I had to
scissors.
Learn.
You learn now, though. You know it right. Right?
Ready?
One, two, three.
Oh, yeah. Wait, he doesn't know how to do that. Okay.
One, two, three.
Oh,
see,
he's
I rocked
lost.
You and you scissored it. So.
You smashed
Thankfully,
my scissors.
He does know how to act. And there's this wonderful show coming up called Every Brilliant Thing. It's heavy material, but it's also presented in a way that's accessible and somehow lovable. And tell me a little bit about the show.
You want to go for okay?
Go
well,
first.
Yeah, sure. So the show is about this guy. It's an autobiographical story about this guy talking about how his mother has attempted suicide, and so in order to help her, as a young boy, he starts writing a list of every brilliant thing in the world, the stuff that you know are unique to us, that are wonderful to us, that are great in the world. So, and it just follows his progression from childhood all the way to adulthood and dealing with his own issues with mental health. But yeah, it's told and it's done in a very, I don't know, like you said, accessible, sensitive way, but it's not like where you're going to leave feeling, oh man, that was, you know, there's a really good message in there.
Yeah.
Accessible is a good word.
You don't take the heavy with you is what you're saying.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So how did you get involved in the show? Because this is first of all, it's a one-person show. Mm-hmm. Does the script pick a gender, or is that just a casting choice by Jennifer Furch, the director?
Actually, in the notes, they say it could be a man or a woman. It was initially written for a man, but they've left it up to the director. And so I think Jennifer, because of the way it is textually kind of leaned that way, I wasn't going to audition for it, and then my boss at CPAC said, you know, I think you should read this. It's a really good show. So, okay, read it, and I was like, I've got to audition for this one. And I was really glad to hear Michael was doing it as well, because we've never had a chance to work together on stage.
Yeah, this is the first time for us.
So this is a one-man show, mm-hmm. and yet there are two people cast mm-hmm. To kind of handle the burden of carrying a one-man show, and you've kind of referred to each other as a safety net in this whole process. Tell me a little bit working alongside each other for a one-man show.
I've never been double cast before, and I know that's common for children's theater, I think, more so than adult. So that was it's kind of a unique situation. And we were talking last night about watching each of our performances and kind of not wanting to copy, but also like maybe taking notes on how it's effective. How the other person's doing it effectively. So that isn't interesting to play off of Patrick, but it's also a little, I don't know, competitive in a sense.
I was going to say, is there going to be a vote? Does the audience get to vote at the end of this whole thing?
yeah.
No, and I told Mike, I think one of the cool things about it is just watching and seeing the different interpretations. Mm. You know, I mean, you can often do a role and then years later go see somebody do the same role. But to do that at the same time and watch somebody else doing what you're doing, it's really a cool perspective. And like, because you'll see things that I didn't think about approaching it that way, you know, and like, I really like how they do that. I'm not going to take that because that's his.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you find that you borrow from each other's performances? Do you ever watch the other and think, I never would have made that choice, but it was makes for an entirely different performance?
I don't know if I've done that as much as, you know, thinking maybe I could look at this in a different way, you know, not necessarily copy, but you know what, maybe I need to go back and read this and maybe I'm not interpreting it the way it should be interpreted, I think, at least from my perspective.
I think there are different, because it's such a roller coaster ride of emotions. And I think we hit different peaks at different times. Oh. There are certain moments that hit me a lot harder than they hit you, I think. But other moments you find hit you harder. So,
do you think that that comes from your own personal experience, your own life lived?
Yeah, I think so.
That's such a great point. I mean, there's never going to be the same performance of any role because we all have a different experience bringing into it.
Yeah.
We're talking about Every Brilliant Thing. We're here with Patrick Manley and Michael Ivanichko, and we'll be right back on the scene. We're back on the scene. I'm your host, Laura Holloway, and we're talking with the two stars of Cookeville Performing Arts Center's upcoming production of Every Brilliant Thing, Patrick Manley and Michael Ivanichko, who are double cast in this one-man show that is an exploration of a human experience and a life lived and a life lost.
Yes, yes, yes.
Tell me a little bit about the script itself, what people can expect from this type of performance, and how they have actually kind of created a new performance experience here by bringing the audience in behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that a little bit.
Mike, I'll let you roll with that.
The script itself is kind of written, it's influenced by a stand-up comedian, Johnny, came in a little later, I was reading, after it had been written by Duncan McMillan.
Yes, correct.
And he kind of shaped like the one man show aspect of it. And it incorporates the audience. I believe there are six characters that we pull from the audience and ask them to be, for example, a vet. Someone's a vet. Someone plays the main character's father.
Yeah.
Love interest, which is another kind of role playing thing, male or female, that we could play with. Like if we wanted to pull a man up there, Jennifer, you know, gave us the right to do that. But
if someone's coming to see the show and that idea makes them really nervous, tell me about how you can avoid possibly being a part of the show or opt to be a part of it.
Okay, great question. So Jennifer has thought about this in great detail and depth. So if you are not interested in being an audience participant, you're going to have the choice of between a red sticker or a green sticker, you know. Red means stop, green means go, right? And so,
is there a maybe sticker?
You know what? Actually, it's funny you mentioned it. I had heard talks that was going to be a yellow. Now, what that would actually mean to Michael and me when we're doing the show, I'm not sure.
Oh, God.
I'd pick all the yellows.
Yeah. But it's really cool. It's a show that, you know, for people who may not know, but there is no fourth wall, which means there's a lot of interaction directly with the audience. And so we've kind of created
Explain that fourth wall for non-theater people that are listening.
Absolutely. Thank you. That's a great question. So in theater, you know, you have what's called the fourth wall in that the audience is watching as if they're not a member of what's happening on scene. It's like there's a wall that's been removed so
like
they can actually see.
Like you take the screen off the TV.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And step in, you know, so you have that barrier. In this, there is no barrier between the actors and the audience. The actors talk directly and interacts directly with the audience. So we've kind of set it up to where it's almost like a museum tour, where we have little placards up at different areas in the theater that explain, you know, like the fly system, what this is and what this does. Mm. And there's also, you know, the tech table and what happens here. So it's really kind of an immersive experience for the audience. And for anybody who's uncomfortable, it is important to know that we don't pick on anybody. You know, it's very, you know, you don't have a lot you have to do. It's more of just being a space holder, pretty much. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. A prop.
Yeah. Yes, to serve an end. But, I mean, it's really something that's, I guess, gives people something they may not have experience with or gotten to do that before.
And necessary to the show.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So it helps drive the story along.
So this is the backstage production.
Correct.
Which if someone has never been to, obviously, Cookeville Performing Arts Center seats, how many people does it seat out in the house?
Our main auditorium is around 430,
okay.
I believe.
And a backstage performance actually brings the audience up on the stage and a lot closer to the action.
Correct.
And only seating how many?
This show, we have 72 seats available.
That's awesome.
So it's a much more intimate experience, what would be called a black box experience pretty much, which is where everything is really closely situated. We do it like almost like a baseball diamond, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a pretty cool configuration.
And this show will be coming up, opening on February 14th.
Right. We open this Friday.
Okay. Yeah. And then there are shows on the 14th, 15th, and 16th, and then again on the 18th, 20th, 21st, and 22nd. Are any of those pay what you can? Are there any kind of special happenings that the audience should know about?
Great question. Yeah, Tuesday nights are typically our pay what you can night. So people who want to come and see the show maybe not be able to pay full price for tickets, especially like students. They can absolutely choose whatever price they're comfortable paying for a ticket. We do have two matinees on the 16th of February and then on the 22nd of February. So
it's a lot of good different choices and options to come see the show and participate or not,
or
depending
not.
On your sticker color that you choose.
Correct. Yes.
I have more questions. We're going to be back on the scene. We're talking with the stars of Every Brilliant Thing, which is coming up at CPAC February 14th through the 22nd. You're back listening to The Scene. I'm your host, Laura Holloway, and we're talking with Michael Evanichko and Patrick Manley, the upcoming stars of the one-man show, Every Brilliant Thing, that's happening at Cookeville Performing Arts Center, opening February 14th, this Friday. Guys, carrying a one-man show is a lot. It's an hour long-ish. Mm-hmm. It is literally you on stage the whole time, and you're changing off for, depending on the performances. This is double cast. Have you ever done a one-man show before?
I have never, no. It was quite a terrifying prospect.
I've done one, but it was one. It was an original work that I did back in college. So it's been a long, long time.
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
When it comes to approaching this type of show, how's this different from a normal show where you're acting off of other actors on stage or you have the support of a cast? How's it different? How's it better? How's it worse?
I'd say a lot more homework.
Definitely.
Obviously, a lot more memorizing, and because we are using the audience, that does help break it up. We can kind of look at them as a supporting character of sorts, but it's also terrifying for me because I've never spoken to an audience, and I'm as I'm scanning the audience, I'm going to see people that I know, and how's that going to mess with my head? Mm. How's it going to distract me? So I'm a little concerned about that.
Well, Patrick, you've done the one-man show before, and you've spoken. What would your advice be for your...
Breathe deep, man, and don't lock your knees. You'll pass out.
Oh, my gosh. That's all I need.
No. Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have told you that. Lock your knees, man. No. I like it. I like the ability to interact with the audience, but I think it's a different feel being local, because originally the script calls are for the guy to be out, or the woman, whoever's playing the role, to be out in the audience, mingling with the audience.
Mm.
We talked about that very early in the process, and we're like, the fact that we're from here, I don't like that idea, because it'd be people who know you, and you just don't want that kind of interaction. I said, if we were in Nashville, Knoxville, nobody knew me, yeah, I'd be awesome. I'd love that whole, establishing that rapport right from the get-go. So it is going to be a little bit different, having people in the audience, and of course, now there's audience participation, you're wondering, okay, who am I going to pick out to do this? Who can I pick that I know will be a safe bet? Who will? Because you also are thinking, man, if I pick this one person, they are going to mess with me.
Yeah.
And I'm going to find myself, because it's going to be a lot of improv.
Yeah.
You never know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
So you're like, man, do I want to go down that rabbit hole with that person?
Which is exciting. It adds, it makes every show different, but also that's nerve wracking.
You know how I enjoy improv.
Yeah. Michael's terrified of improv. So this is a great exercise for you.
It is.
Yeah. And I think there are things too, with improv is, you have scenarios already built in your head and you already have kind of like a database of possible responses, three or four things that, okay, well, this is the way this could go.
Yeah.
So improv in a lot of ways is there is some preparation there.
Sure, sure.
You've got a Rolodex. But I think it's fun. Again, but the question is how much audience participation are you going to get? And how far is it going to go? So, it's the unknown, I guess.
Yeah. And you will be in the audience for each other's performances.
Yes, correct.
Talk to me a little bit about that, about how that offers some sense of safety for you both.
We will be supporting each other. For example, in the rehearsal last night, I called out a number and then totally blanked out as to what I was to say after that number. And Patrick, he said it for me in the audience. So it was almost like that was supposed to happen.
Yeah.
So, I think with the number situation, it's going to play off pretty well. And even halfway through monologues, I think we can save each other too if we get a little off course.
Yeah.
So, and that's one of the elements about, I think, real too, is part of the audience participation. Everybody gets a number, and you have a corresponding brilliant thing with that number. So the actor will call it a number, say, 15. The audience member who has that number will read out what that brilliant thing is. And then, like I was telling you earlier, I maybe even mentioned on the show, my memory is lapsing as I get older.
You're having to use all your memory for lines right now.
That's right.
We understand.
I need to take some super greens or something. But No, the audience members will also be able to contribute their brilliant things at the end of the show.
I love that.
Which is really cool. And we're going to post those backstage on the stage or the auditorium doors so people can see, hey, what are other people's brilliant things?
Whose idea was all of this?
Jennifer.
God, Jennifer is just so amazing.
She is incredible. Her vision and her concept of how she wanted to present this has just been
wonderful.
It's been wonderful to work with.
I could talk to you guys about this all day, but we want to make sure we get people the right details so they can come and see every brilliant thing happening at Cookeville Performing Arts Center February 14th, 15th, and 16th, as well as the 18th, 20th, 21st, and 22nd. The evening performances start at 7:30 p.m. The matinees are 2 o'clock shows. Is that correct?
Correct.
2 o'clock shows. And then the show on the 18th is a pay what you can night. It's a great night to come and see theater if money's a little tight, or if you just, I mean, I feel like that's always the most fun audience night anyway. So I recommend everyone purchase their tickets to the show, and that can be done on CPAC's website, which is cpac.org, I believe and
so,
if
yes.
I'm wrong, give it a Googan and find out for yourself.
But there is a bar.
Yes,
actually on the stage as well.
Stage.
And Michael Evanichko with the Clutch closing comment. There is a bar available,
yes.
Which helps with the audience participation, I imagine.
Yes, and you can also call our box office. It's 528-1313.
Perfect.
And we'll be glad to help you out if you want to do that.
Great. Well. We're looking forward to it. Every brilliant thing at Cookeville Performing Arts Center opening this Friday through February 22nd. Thanks, guys.
Hey, thank you, Laura. Appreciate it.